If you are a businesswoman working to amplify your six and seven figure business from success to significance, then you know it's not just about the right strategies or the right tactics. It's more and more about high caliber people around you, your team, your collaborators, and advisors that can open doors for you and widen your reach. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast with your hosts, Dr. Monica Ogando and Amy Walker.
Hello. Hola. Hello. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast. I'm your co-host, Dr. Monica Ogando.
And I'm Amy Walker.
Amy Maria de Los Angeles Martinez Hernandez Walker.
When I get the extra names, it means something really good is coming or I'm in trouble.
No, it's something really, really good, because today we're talking about when to build an internal team versus outsource. And I promise you that 90% of the time when we are sharing a topic in this podcast, it's number one, coming out of experience. And then when Amy talks, I take notes. Or when I take notes, or when I speak, then she takes notes.
Yeah.
Or it's something that when we have guests, it's like, we both want to know. So let's bring somebody in.
Yes. I love this topic. You know, I love this topic.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about it a lot because I feel like a drum roll, please. Big announcement in my business. We have opened up a new branch of our business. So in addition to the coaching consulting branch, we have also opened up a business development partnership where we do all of the marketing and we do all of the sales, and then we pass you off the clients. And so in the process of developing those two halves of the business, I really had to think about where is the delineation and where is the timing between when you should be hiring internally and when it makes more sense to outsource. Mm-hmm. And there are some factors involved. So I'm excited to share today. And Monica, yes. I know you've done both as well. So I'm sure you'll have nuggets to add in too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So there is a point where we all get stuck as an entrepreneur because there's not enough of us to go around. So like your first round of business is you got to get in there and you have to figure out how to sell a product, mm-hmm. right? What is it that people want? Who wants it? How are you going to sell it? And you get people that start buying this product or this service for you. And then you get to a point where you're like, now I am maxed out in terms of hours of the day. I want growth, but I can't get more growth. This is the moment when you start building your internal team. Okay, so now this is where you're going to look at bringing on board and the first two people that I would hire, because I like to do hires that are income producing, and mm-hmm. then I take the extra income and then I hire the people who just help with my workload and the support tasks that are not income producing. And so a really good three-person team would look like you have an appointment setter that is going to call all of your leads, pre-qualify them, get them on your calendar, and help you increase sales volume. Mm-hmm. A virtual marketing assistant who is going to help you with lead generation activities that you just don't have time to do consistently enough. And mm-hmm. then getting somebody who can help you in the back-end support of your business and things like managing your CRM, mm-hmm. making sure that the cards get charged on time, like just a good, solid administrative virtual assistant. Those three people right there should be able to double or quadruple what you can do on your own, mm-hmm. somewhere between double and quadruple. And where a lot of people get stuck is they get to that point where they can't work more and they're like, I can't afford to hire. Well, of course, because you've done the mistake that most people have made, which is you considered your labor to be free labor. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you didn't build in a budget in order to hire other people to do it. You just built it in so you could pay yourself what you want to get paid. So at mm-hmm. this point in time, you have to do a price adjustment. Listen. And you actually, yeah, Monica,
if
I know
you can't
you're
say amen, say ouch. That's what I say.
But this is where you actually got to go in and you have to look at the cost of fulfillment mm-hmm. plus the cost of marketing, plus mm-hmm. the cost of sales, plus your operating expenses, and then actually profits. And that's how you price. And so if you currently are like, I can't afford to hire, you don't have a sales issue. You actually have a pricing issue, because you should be able to hire as long as you're selling. And so that's where I think the first level that people get stuck at.
Yeah.
Is that all making sense? Sometimes when
absolutely.
I talk, like,
yes.
I hope that's
no.
clear. Okay. So now let's talk about the fun part, which is when it makes more sense to outsource. So there is, and that will help you grow quite a bit. Like, you'll go a ways with those three critical hires on your team. And again, they don't have to be in person. They don't have to be employees. They don't have to be 40 hours a week. You know, like, these can be virtual people. They can be overseas. They can be in the US. They can be wherever you live. The next phase that happens is when you're starting to lose efficiency because you're spending so much time managing people, and you've got a lot of people who are doing small jobs, and the business is lacking focus because, for example, you have a marketing assistant who is trying to manage YouTube organic and get you speaking gigs and get you booked for a podcast and you know, run your ads and this and that, and you get to the point where it's like, it's really 5 to 10 jobs, but you're trying to have one person doing it, and right. they can't scale, right?
That's right.
That's what an outsourced agency is really good at. Now, I know that's probably a tricky example, because I don't know very many agencies other than mine that do all of those things. Most are going to specialize in one or two things, but that's the point where you want to outsource, is when you're like, okay, me managing all the people to do all of this, it becomes inefficient, which is honestly, this is the reason why we branched into this, because I'm like, I have so many people on my team right now that are really, really good at a piece of the puzzle. Yeah. And yet I could do this, like, I could take what we do for us and we could do it for others without having to actually hire more people, because they're so, their efficiency is increased. They're so good at what they do. So I think that's the point when you start to hire out, is really when it's costing you growth because you're managing people. And I hit that plateau the first time I tried to scale up my business. What I found was all I was doing was managing people that were on my team. And like, I wasn't even really interfacing with clients anymore. I wasn't getting to do the parts of it that I love, which I love the strategy part. I love celebrating as the clients win. And I wasn't really doing all that. I was just like working on my business all of the time. And I realized in that moment, I was like, this isn't actually fun for me. I'm not loving this. And so I, at that point in time, was like, well, I guess what that means is I'll just stay this size. I'll just go back to the size I was at, and I'll restructure, and I'll do the things that I was doing when I was happier with it. And it took me a while to realize that I had hit this barrier and I didn't know how to get to the other side, because having your own internal team is always less expensive when you're small than hiring, than outsourcing. And so there is that gap between the two. You have any thoughts you want to throw in, Monica?
There's a couple of things. One is focusing on the revenue generation first. I like that, because that's part of the conversation that stops so many of us from hiring, whether it's internally or outsourcing. It's got to be able to make sense to the bottom line. And then the second piece is, I like the idea of hiring folks where I do not have a zone of genius. Now, when you turn on the camera and put a mic in front of my face, I will talk till the cows come home. But the idea of showing up every single day on social media to do that feels like you're asking me to die. And I won't do it. So I need somebody to do that social media aspect of the strategy, the content planning, the calendaring, the blah, 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 blah. And then all you got to do is just turn on the mic and in a camera, and I'll create the content, right? And so understanding where your strengths lie goes a long way in understanding what kind of support you need from your internal team and how to outsource it.
Yeah. And when I see people outsource too early, Here's what happens. It is too expensive. And so I see this a lot where people are like paying $2,500 a month to their marketing agency. So they can only afford $500 a month for their ads. That's backwards, right? That's you would be better off hiring somebody, going and finding someone online who will work for you at an hourly rate, running your ads with, if you only have a $500 ads budget.
Yes.
Because you need to know like that the fee to pay the people that you're paying is not going to outpace the actual amount of work that they can do with the budget that you've given them. Now I will say, because I think this is an important distinction. Sometimes when we talk about outsourcing, people are like, oh, so I'm not allowed to go onto Fiverr? No, you can go on Fiverr. That's just a one-off project though. Like that's, I look at Fiverr as you're paying for the production of an asset.
Yeah.
I don't go on Fiverr to hire my internal team. If I'm hiring in the US, I'm usually hiring on Indeed. If I'm hiring overseas, I love onlinejobs.ph. That's kind of my go-to.
Yeah.
But you can pick where you want to do it. But if it's just like a one-off project, I look at that as a production of an asset. Like when we had somebody create our intro for our podcast, that was a one-time thing. I think we did it on Fiverr. Maybe not. I don't know. No, my son Theron did it. Now I remember. The audio version, my son did. And then the video version, my video editor for my company did. But there are certain things where like a book cover, that's a great example. Our book cover, that's a one-time project. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be done once. We can outsource that through a production company. We can get it back. We can move on. We don't need someone ongoing internally. Mm-hmm. But if we were a publishing company, it would probably make more sense to have somebody, an in-house designer, until we hit a certain volume where now we're like, gosh, we're going to need to have 10 designers. Well, that's an agency. Do we want to be a design agency? Or if we're just doing this for us, would it make more sense to partner with a design agency who can handle all of our book covers?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the another way to look at it is, am I just doing this for me, or am I really wanting to grow the team to agency size? And so when your volume gets high enough, sometimes it makes more sense to outsource. Like say, when we run people's sales teams, you know, I had a conversation with a guy this week. He's like, I think I want you to run my sales team. And when I looked at his volume, I was like, I promise you don't want me to run your sales team, because all you need to hit your goal, his goal was to get one new client a month. It's like, well, what's your closing ratio? It's like, oh, about 20%. I was like, so you need to do 5 sales calls. I was like, you don't want me to do that. I promise that's not the clog. He's like, well, I'm so busy with, you know, taking care of the clients that I have. I was like, yeah, so that's where you actually need help, because to hire out an agency to close one deal a month for you, that volume isn't supported. I can't even find a closer who's interested in that commission. Let's be honest. Like nobody wants to close one deal a month for you and that's their whole commission.
Yeah.
So what he needed to do was look at, I need to actually hire some internal people who can do the fulfillment work so that I can get to the point where I can close. And this is what I told him. I was like, when you can close and handle 4 to 10 clients per month, that's when you want our agency to do it for you. In the meantime, what you need is somebody to help you look at your business differently and figure out what positions you really do need to fill.
That's great insight. And it also speaks to your integrity, Amy, because there have been some people like, are you sure? I'll take your money. You know what I mean? Even though that's not the best strategy for them.
Well, I mean, yes, integrity, but also I truly, even if I was out of integrity, I truly can't find somebody who would want to do that. Like, would you like a job where you close one deal per month and this is your commission? They would be like, no, I do not want that job. Right. So it's yes, integrity, and yes, take care of the people, but also
it has to make sense. It has to make math sense.
Right. And helping people understand what it is that they actually need to grow and scale right now. Because over hiring, and I've done this before where I'm like, hired a marketing agency where I was paying them so much per month with their agency fee that I was constantly scrambling to get that money for the ads themselves. And I was like, this just isn't making sense. And the agency was like, but look at your ROAS. I'm like, yeah, but you're not factoring in what I pay you. So I can't just look at ROAS on the ad spend. I also have to figure in the service fee. And because they're disproportionate, like it's just when I figure that out, these numbers don't look good. I am losing money. And so I think you need to always be in a position where you understand the needs of the company and you understand, I always call this the ignorance tax. I don't want to pay the ignorance tax. So I don't have to know how to do everything in my business, but I do need to understand it enough that I'm going to make the right decisions for my business and then hire the right people to do it and be able to know if they're doing a good job or not.
Nice. I love that.
And that's all. That's everything you could possibly need to know about this topic.
And that's all. That's fantastic. Yeah. So if we were to design a listener challenge around this, what would we want to assign them?
I think the first thing is to figure out where you're actually at. Mm-hmm. Are you the solopreneur who can't afford to hire because it's time to like actually price for having a business, not a job? Mm-hmm. So that could be phase number one. And if you're there, then your exercise is to go through and figure out what is the cost of fulfillment? What is the cost for paying a salesperson? What is the cost for acquiring the lead and marketing? What is the cost for your office expenses and your like, you know, just operational account? Mm-hmm. And then what do you want your profit to be? And then figure out your pricing from there. Once you're at that point where you're like, I am priced appropriately, I could hire, then you're going to look at those first three hires, which is I always put first marketing or sales, and that which way we go depends on where your business is actually. If you have a lot of leads and you don't have time to call them, sales. Mm-hmm. If you can close people anytime you get on a call with them, but you don't have enough leads, marketing, right? Just flip-flop what you need. And then after you have those two, then hire an admin person who can help you with fulfillment and managing the back end of your business and things like that. If you already have that team, and in order to grow, you'd have to keep hiring multiples of the people that you already have, and it would get to the point where you're going to spend so much time managing, then that's when you want to look at hiring an agency. So I think the listener challenge is do the assessment, figure out where you're actually at, and then take the appropriate next action.
Got it. I love it.
Awesome.
Couldn't be easier than that, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's go take action. Because I know there's some gentlemen listening. I know that your circle of influence is for women entrepreneurs, but the really smart men.
Yes, I do know male entrepreneurs who really love the female entrepreneur space.
Space, yeah.
Because there's so much good conversations going on. So
yeah. And when
all
we go
welcome
women,
to listen.
Everybody wins.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for being part of this episode. Don't forget to leave us a comment. We love your feedback. We love your contributions. And follow us. Amy is at Amy Walker Coach on Instagram, and I'm at Monica Ogando. And so we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.